now, the rest of the story. Bill and Fletcher were the best of friends. It's not surprising that when Bill would get onto a good thing, he always wanted to share it with Fletcher. And it's interesting how they'd met. Fletcher had been a friend of Bill's wife's family, and it was Bill's wife who had first said, "There's this fellow with whom you would get along famously." Well, the first tour of duty, Bill was captain of the vessel. Fletcher could not speak highly enough of Bill. Indeed, it was Bill who first instructed Fletcher in the use of naval charts and instruments. Fletcher recalled admiringly how involved Bill was in everything that he did, how dedicated, how passionate. Then there was the next voyage they sailed together. Bill had chosen Fletcher for his second mate. Now, into this atmosphere of friendship and mutual admiration, a bond had grown between these two men, a strong bond. And one day Bill approached Fletcher with the deal of a lifetime. This was to be a botanical expedition, not an ordinary one. A prestigious botanical theorist, a fellow named Joseph Banks, had become convinced that a plant called breadfruit could provide an extremely inexpensive, nourishing food source for the whole world. Problem was, this curious member of the mulberry family, breadfruit, was not indigenous to the West, would have to be retrieved from halfway around the world and especially cultivated, and Bill had been chosen to head the breadfruit expedition. He would be given a vessel uniquely modified to function as a floating greenhouse, a safe means of transportation for the delicate plants. And in the process, surely, Bill's name would go down in scientific history as the man who fed the world. Bill could think of nobody he'd like better to accompany him on the long voyage than his trusted friend Fletcher. And Fletcher listened eagerly and accepted Bill's offer immediately, for this was yet another opportunity to relive the brotherly experiences of their first tour of duty together, to eat together, to learn together, to live together in the exhilarating environment of the open sea. 56 days into this third mission, almost 2 months from home port, Bill wrote this entry in his ship's log, quote, "My men are all active good fellows, and what has given me much pleasure is that I have not yet been obliged to punish any one. My officers and young gentlemen are all tractable and well-disposed. We now understand each other so well that we shall remain so the whole voyage," end quote. But that was before Fletcher's head was turned by a Tahitian girl. I said that was before Fletcher became infatuated with a Tahitian girl whom Bill had forced him to leave in Tahiti. And were it not for that girl Fletcher refused to leave behind, the history books would be devoid of the rebellion you know as the mutiny on the Bounty. For Fletcher was Fletcher Christian. Mr. Christian, remember? And Bill, of course, you'd recognize as Captain William Bligh. Captain Bligh. But the distortion of history is perhaps responsible unto the way the movies rewrote things. In the movies, Captain Bligh was a villain. You left him despised and adrift in an open boat on the open sea, a miserable man. But in fact, in the ship's log, and in factual history, as Bligh was being cast adrift from the Bounty, he called out, reminding Christian of their longtime friendly brotherly relationship. And it was Christian who then, from Pitcairn Island, on which he had exiled himself, called out, "I am in hell. I am in hell." Now you know what he meant, because now you know the rest of the story.